If you're not receiving the regular action alerts from the nonprofit Faithful America, you're really missing out. While sources of discouraging news are plentiful, what sets these alerts apart is the suggestion of concrete actions to take in defense of religion, our Constitution, and our neighbors. Back again with an update is the Reverend Nathan Imsall, Executive Director of Faithful America. Nathan, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Your recent mailing about a pastor who is known for kicking concerned congregants out of his church services if they show up wearing masks is particularly provocative. Who is this guy?
This guy is named Greg Locke. He is an evangelical, and that's Locke with an E at the end, and he's an evangelical pastor just outside of Nashville who has spent the entire pandemic downplaying the pandemic and now not only telling parishioners they are not allowed to wear masks at his church, but also standing there in the pulpit saying, do not get vaccinated, do not get vaccinated. Like a lot of evangelical and also Catholic fringe pastors, not the mainstream in the Catholic Church, or even I think in evangelicalism, but a lot of these fringe folks are spreading the lie that the vaccines are linked to abortion or contain stem cells. And that lie is getting people killed. And then there are all the different weird misinformation pieces that go into masks, too. But in addition to all that, Locke is also preaching QAnon conspiracy theories from his pulpit and making all sorts of weird partisan claims about pedophilia and politicizing the pandemic itself, calling masks Democrat gains. I wish that we could just ignore him. I wish we could say it's one guy affecting a small amount of people, but he's making major headlines in the Washington Post and in Newsweek every single week, and that is spreading his misinformation and his lies, and that's really hurting people in Jesus' name. And he's not the only one. He's symptomatic of a much larger strain of misinformation in the church. And I think most of Faithful American members believe that we have a duty, a moral responsibility, not only to get vaccinated, but also to stand up to misinformation within the church.
What is Faithful America calling on people to do in this case? Is it about religion? Is it about politics? Or is it about somebody that's crazy?
You know, I don't want to call anybody crazy. I don't want to question motives. I think it's about public health. It's about loving your neighbor. Well, what is politics other than, as a professor of mine used to say, the art of how we live together, the art of figuring out how to live together? So, you know, whatever label you want to put on it, at the end of the day, it's the question of how do we love one another? And I think we love one another by getting vaccinated, by encouraging one another to get vaccinated, by wearing masks indoors, and by fighting sources of misinformation and trying to get the facts out there, but also trying to turn the volume down on the misinformation that does exist. It's not enough to put facts alongside the lies. You also have to turn down the volume on the lies, especially when they are spread in Jesus' name and give folks the wrong impression of not just the church, but of Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. So in Greg Locke's case, whenever you see a case like this, you have to ask, what's the strategic way? How can we make a difference? It doesn't really make a difference to tell the person to stop, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is look at the different platforms Locke has and say which might listen to reason, and maybe which don't know the message he's spreading, which platforms can we help disassociate themselves from Locke, mm-hmm. and from others in Tennessee, like Pastor Gary Umbel, with the same message. Mm-hmm. And what Faithful America is doing right now, we have partnered with local clergy in Tennessee through the Southern Christian Coalition, and we are asking venues that are sponsoring a speaking tour that includes Greg Locke to terminate the contracts they have with the tour and its events. That includes a wedding venue outside of Chattanooga called Howe Farms. We're talking to Apex Bank, and we've got almost 12,000 signatures, over 11,000 signatures on a petition, mostly Christian signatures, asking these venues to terminate these events. We're calling the venues, a few dozen calls, to saying, hey, your potential customers are really worried about this. sometimes they say, don't you care about freedom of speech? And we say, yes, please use your freedom of speech not to host these events. Please use your freedom to disassociate yourself from this deadly misinformation. We want the freedom to live in a COVID-safe environment. We want the freedom to love our neighbors. And Pastor Locke, and he's associated with this group called Tennessee Stands. Mm. They're the one behind most of the speaking events. Most of the events are called the Freedom Matters Tour. Alan Keyes and other notorious figures, especially locally, pastors and politicians and activists alike, are joining Greg Locke at these speaking engagements. He's not on all of them, to be fair, but all of them are twisting the Bible and the Constitution to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking these venues to pull the plug on these events.
Your work is overtly nonpartisan. What's the call to action around Afghanistan that you're currently promoting?
Right. This came out a few days ago. Whatever you think of the war in Afghanistan, the 20 years of war there, and the U.S. withdrawal and how that's going, there's clearly a humanitarian crisis. And so we are asking President Biden, first of all, yes, to help everyone who helped the United States. I mean, it is an absolute travesty how many translators and interpreters and other folks who helped us are being left to face the Taliban's wrath and not getting the visas they were promised, in some cases 10 years ago or more. At the same time, there are so many people who helped human rights nonprofits and international organizations and women and LGBTQ folks and other various religious and ethnic minorities who are going to suffer at the Taliban's hands. So we are echoing the call, various calls of other organizations, both refugee resettlement agencies and Afghan diaspora organizations, asking President Biden to welcome all vulnerable Afghans in need to this country. And there are any number of avenues the White House can take to do this, including holding the Kabul airport open, chartering as many planes as they can, both civilian and military, to get people out, raising the refugee ceiling here in the United States, all sorts of technical visa processes they can expedite and put in place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, before you can get into the technical details, but the bottom line is, there's a moral responsibility to help people in need, mm-hmm. especially when they are in need because of a situation we helped destabilize.
Yeah. What are some of the other issues that you're encouraging people to engage in right now?
One is that we are calling on President Biden and Congress to help vaccinate the world. We're working with Public Citizen to echo this call from Partners in Health and Oxfam and so many public health deans and professors, $34 billion from Congress, a drop in the bucket compared to every COVID bill that has passed so far, would be enough to both produce and distribute 8 billion mRNA COVID vaccines. Right now, not even 4% of people in Africa have been vaccinated. And they're not refusing the vaccine like many evangelicals and Americans. They don't have access on the continent. The shots just don't exist there. We don't need to send surplus shots from the U.S. What the need is money and building production and distribution infrastructure. And like I say, it's $34 billion to help the poor, to help the marginalized, and also to prevent the creation of future strains like Delta that would then come to the United States. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at the surgeon-turned-nun, Sister Dee Dee Byrne, who became infamous when she spoke at the RNC for Donald Trump. She's now spreading COVID misinformation. We're asking Villanova and St. Thomas Catholic Universities to rescind her honorary degrees because that would help take away some of her platform. It would give her fewer credentials to abuse and pretend that there's a veneer of authenticity to her lies about the COVID vaccines. Similar misinformation to Pastor Locke. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I'll mention on the non-COVID front, I have a toddler. And she is adorable, and almost as adorable as she is this Fisher-Price nativity set she's got. But the problem, it was given to us by a relative, but the problem is the Jesus and Holy Family figures are all white. Mm. And we know that Jesus wasn't white. Mm. You know, as Professor Anthea Butler says, every time you see white Jesus, it spreads white supremacy. Hmm. Because we keep showing folks this image of a white Jesus who's part of the racial majority in this country. Jesus was born, Jesus, God, broke into human history on the side of the oppressed. race may not have really mattered in terms of oppression 2,000 years ago, but it does today. And so in a Western country, when we remove Jesus from communities of color that way, we remove him from the narrative of being born in occupied territory to a working class family in a barn, fighting with the oppressed against empire. Today, Jesus would be a person of color just as he was 2,000 years ago. So we are asking Fisher-Price and Mattel to change their nativity set. Hopefully, there's still time to do that before this Christmas. If not, next Christmas. I understand production takes time. We have 12,000 signatures so far on that. I think Mattel wants to do the right thing. They were receptive to a letter we sent them before the petition. I know they've done the right thing with the Barbie line, so we hope they'll do the right thing here. And if not, petitions are never only the first step in a campaign.
Now, then, what's a couple of recent campaigns that you've used to bring people of goodwill together for important objectives? What achievements are you most proud of?
There were two last year that really stood out to me. One was working with a number of other coalition groups, Church World Service and many others, to help free a wrongly detained asylum seeker from ICE custody. He lived in a house on church grounds in Bethesda, Maryland, and ICE agents lied to lure him outside at 6 in the morning and put him in custody over one or two pieces of missed paperwork that a now disbarred lawyer had forgotten to tell him about. And working in coalition, Faithful America gathered the majority of signatures that were delivered in person to ICE headquarters in D.C. in a big march that many Faithful America members attended. Then we flooded ICE with emails, and we worked closely with the asylum seeker's pastor. We got in touch with him the day after he was detained, and he was eventually freed. And, you know, that was... We think it was partly legal action, but also partly ICE not wanting to deal with the pressure. And so he's reunited with his family, and that felt really good to see this family reunited. Yeah. I was also really excited last fall when, again, working in coalition with Muslim advocates, the NAACP, and many others, we helped stop one of Donald Trump's nominees in the Senate, a very anti-Islamic and quite frankly, just racist, anti-black figure from a major Pentagon nomination. And we got Senate Republicans who were then in the majority to cancel his nomination hearing, not even consider him, and Trump was forced to withdraw the nomination. And that was really exciting because it was Senate Republicans who, along with Senate Democrats, who made that decision and who listened when people of faith came together and pointed out all the flaws in this guy, which shows that change is always possible, no matter what you think of the current political landscape. Speaking out always makes a difference. We've had more victories since then. I could talk about more recent ones, but those were the ones that gave me hope and helped me fuel. Even if they're not the biggest or the most headline-grabbing, they were the ones that that speak to the circumstances and that you can always make a difference, even when you're looking at Trump's ICE or Senate Republicans or just how bad 2020 was, there was still hope even in that darkness.
How can folks get involved in your work, or is it as simple as signing up for the regular action alerts and taking it from there?
It's that simple. Go to faithfulamerica.org. There is a box where you can just put in your email or your zip code. Don't even need your name right away. You can also sign one of the petitions you see there on the homepage, and that will add you to the email list. We'd also love for you to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And once you sign a petition, you may not see this on the website, but there are follow-up actions we'll sometimes send, and information, call alerts, additional updates that come after you sign a petition.
The Reverend Nathan Imsall is a priest in the Episcopal Church and executive director of Faithful America, online at faithfulamerica.org. Nathan, it is always good to talk with you. I'm so impressed by what you're doing. Keep making good trouble, and we'll talk again soon on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. Good trouble. Love it. God bless. Take care.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. please consider making a tax-deductible gift as we celebrate 15 years of continuous broadcasting. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Mm-hmm.